Welcome. Good evening. Thank you for joining with us. This is Portland Bible Church. I'm Pastor Gary Glennie. Currently, we're meeting at our home here in Vancouver, Washington. So thank you all for coming, those who are here joining us in person and those who are live streaming. You can live stream on Judy Glennie's Facebook page, or you can go to the website, portlandbiblechurch.com, and you can check us out there at the top of the homepage. It has services. And there's a drop-down menu. You go down there, and there's a link to YouTube. So that'll give you the information. We have to post that after the fact, but we'll get that up as soon as we can. So again, thank you so much for coming. Our classes are on Sunday at 10 o'clock and 11:15. And after the second service, we have some singing, the great hymns of the church. We had some really great singing this last week. We had some new voices here, so really had a good time fellowship. So if you can join with us on Sunday for the second service at least, from 11:15 till about 12 o'clock, and then we have the singing of the great hymns of the church. And then on Thursday, of course, which is tonight, 7 o'clock, we've been studying the concepts of leadership from the Old Testament, particularly in the area of the Southern Kingdom, the eight good kings of the Southern Kingdom in terms of leadership. So we're looking at that. We haven't quite finished it. We had a little break here, of course, over Thanksgiving, and so hopefully we'll get back on track. However, this evening I wanted to make note of the festival of Hanukkah, which is going on as we speak this particular week. This year it's a little early because it follows the lunar calendar, and so it varies depending on the lunar calendar. So it's the 25th, begins on the 25th of Kislev, which means nothing to you unless you have a Hebrew calendar. At any rate, that's what's going on. That really started the eight-day celebration, which began this past Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and will continue through until next Monday, the 6th of December at 6 p.m., so 8-day celebration. So I wanted to look at that a little bit this evening as we start out. And so also we have Judy Glennie, my wife, who is doing a ladies' Bible study here on Wednesday at 2 o'clock, and she's going through the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, types of churches, in addition to the seven specific churches that John wrote to as he penned under inspiration the book of Revelation. So that's kind of where we've been, where we're going. It's always customary to take a few moments at the beginning of each of our studies to make sure that we're in fellowship. We believe that it's based on the fact that we have no unconfessed sin in our life, and therefore we need to take a check on ourselves and see whether we are in fellowship, whether we have any unconfessed sins, and name those, cite them to God, confess them. And basically that's on what John tells us in his first epistle in 1 John 1:9, where he says, if we, believers, if we confess our sins, in other words, name them, cite them, agree with God that they're sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That picks up the ones that we either didn't know about or had forgotten. And then we believe we have the filling of the Holy Spirit, fulfilling the command that we do that, be filled with the Holy Spirit, as Paul instructs us in his epistle. And so we see then that we have this opportunity to make sure that we're prepared in the usual manner for the study of the Word of God. And so for we'll take a short time for silent prayer, and then I'll close with audible prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gracious provision. We thank you for freedom in this country that we can assemble still to worship you in the way that your word instructs us so that we can have an intimate relationship and fellowship with you and understand those things that you desire of us so that we might live the kind of life that is pleasing to you, Father, and that because of our obedience, we might have great blessing in this life as well as blessing and reward when your Son comes to take us to be in that new holy Jerusalem. We look forward to that, Father. We pray now as we study this evening that you'd illumine our hearts, encourage, challenge, and motivate us by the things we study. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I go through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Study to show yourself approved unto God, workman that aimed rightly dividing the word of truth. Open this evening, if you will, briefly to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 2 and verse 22. The Gospel of John, 22. And for those who are here, of course, we do have a study on the Feast of Hanukkah. You can look this up if you have. You can go there, and there's a study there, one of many, under the Doctrine section. Feast of Lights. We're going to just look at that. Last year, I went through it in detail. Passages that are found. Testament period. If you're detailed presentation, go to our study last year, and so it was a little bit later, December the 10th. Last year, December 10th and December 17th, that we developed the study of Hanukkah particulars. We have the notes here available, and if you go to the website and look up Hanukkah or the Feast of Lights, you'll be able to get the information in print form there. And so basically the thing that we have taught, the thing that you need to understand about this particular festival is found there. I simply thought that I would take a quick run through on this without developing it any. Thing that I wanted to note here is that the only place the word Hanukkah, if you will, is the Old Testament, and there, of course, it simply translates the word dedication. When he brought it, Hanukkah. But the only place that we find it in the New Testament is under the word egkainia, which is dedication in the Greek, and it's only found once. So technically, the word Hanukkah is not even found in the Bible except right here. And it's the Greek form of dedication. They translate it as the Feast of Dedication. And that's over here in the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 22. And this was a time when Jesus was teaching about the fact that he was the good shepherd and the fact his life for his sheep, and he was presenting that. And then we see in verse 22, it says, at that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. And of course, he was teaching in the temple at this time. And it says, they were gathering around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus them, I told you, and yet you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness, but you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and nothing shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and nothing is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are deity. Stone him, and you can read the rest of it, but this is the only place that we really find reference. Upon his teaching during that time, if you know that, the Feast of the was Tiger's. Circumcised, be executed. The idea of worshiping God, any of the rituals for worshiping God, obviously were strongly penalized, even to the point of death. Is really found in Maccabees, Catholic Bible, part of the canon of Scripture as we understand Genesis to Revelation. What we find in these writings is totally in opposition in many places to the known teaching of the Word of God. However, 1 Maccabees has some fairly reliable history. The great historian Josephus, where we find much of the information. So, 1 Maccabees, pretty reliable history. 2 history. Of the Maccabees gives us the information about Hanukkah that we have nowhere else. Malachi, Testament, but certainly there was much writing going on, and we do have some of these books, such as 1 Maccabees. At any rate, we have sacrificed pigs and so forth in there, everything that was just an affront to God. And so there was a family, the Maccabees. Death. And you can read all about that, and we've studied it before. At any rate, by the temple, they had a menorah there. They had enough oil. It turned out that when they put the oil into the lamp, it burned for 8 full days. The basis upon which they said that they commemorate the rededication of the temple during this time of defilement by Antiochus. Okay, so another candelabra that we see, which now has 9 veins, 8 in the tabernacle, and middle, and extra ones, Hanukkah. That's why there's a difference. We have on Sunday and take a look at it. Usually we light it here. And so there are actually different candles that are lit, which is called the Shamash or the Leader. To God himself, we would understand it as the Lord Jesus Christ. Why we actually see Jesus of the light of the world in John 8:12. And so that Shamash in the middle is the one that lights all of the other lights or candles in the case of this. An interesting thing that they have additionally given names to each of the candles. And I always like that idea because each one of these would be the one which has to do with faith. In other words, believing. And so everything in worship to God is based on faith. The promises, the principles of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and for us today, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one, the second candle, is called the candle of freedom. Freedom, of course, free will. We have the choice. For God has given to us as human beings free will in our soul. Doesn't always guarantee free will in a national setting. soul, you have free will. The third candle would be courage. God's word, and God tells us to fear not, that we should in fact have courage. And then the fourth one is love. And of course, love is the emblem of the Christian life. Christ said, by the way that you love one another, people will know you are my disciples. So this transcends all the way from the Old Testament in and through the New Testament. So that's why I like these different names. And the we'd be lighting it after 6 p.m. This is the beginning of the fifth night of Hanukkah. It goes down. The candle would be lit. And the fifth candle is or charity is the result of the grace of God. Grace is mercy or charity. In other words, the demonstration of God's plan in action, mercy. Would be a number six, integrity, combines both concepts of righteousness. Righteousness is the perfection of God. Justice is right decisions of God. And so the combination of God's righteousness and his from his integrity. So that's a great one for number six. And of course, then is knowledge. In who and what God is, we need to understand the word of God. Knowledge of the word of God is important. And peace. And so faith, and we end with peace. Christ, we enter by faith alone. Christ alone is reconciliation. God has made peace between himself through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So those are eight candles or lights. This forever. We've been fairly this country by having so certainly think to represented their freedom at a particular time. About 170 BC. Later, after it had been written, Josephus, the great historian. Obviously, much of the tradition. Things of check out. And then we mentioned the candelabra. The other thing I mentioned here, brought in the temple in the Gospel of John 10, 22, all the way down through 30, only place we find it. So it's interesting, a feast that the Jewish, to this day, loyal Jewish people, however, things like Passover, that's the one that seems to be for the Hebrew people, and we would probably concur with that. With national freedom, this one's an important one too. Hanukkah today, reviving, receiving gifts, singing songs, worshiping, praying. They have many prayers that go along with it, and there's a characters on it. It was something that was developed when the soldiers would come around and the Hebrew people would be worshiping. They didn't want anybody to know they were worshiping. Soldiers come around like they were gambling with this little top, and they would take it out. And it was a very, very simple game, and the children even play the dreidel game. But it had great significance because they used it to cover up the Word of God. So that was something that was used at that time and covered the teaching of the Word of God during this oppression by Antiochus. Political and religious freedom, and I think we could concur with that. I have two principles, all political and religious freedom, victory. Society, national freedom, such as what we put here. Lives. Or the. Second, of course. Johnny, and again, as you seven, studying at the back out, Hezekiah. Solomon. All the other in the northern kingdom of the southern. On Sennacherib in Jerusalem, he decided